Good morning and welcome. This is the virtual special commission meeting of June 29, 2020 to discuss mask usage and compliance measures. Due to the public health emergency caused by coronavirus, COVID-19, and is authorized by Governor DeSantis's Executive Order 2069 as extended by Executive Orders 20-121, 123, and 139, and 150. Today's special city commission meeting is being held virtually with elected officials and city staff participating via Zoom. If there's participation or commentary during the meeting, and all our meetings, the public may certainly participate via Zoom, zoom.us, or by telephone at 312-626-6799 or 888-475-4499, 888-475-4499. The webinar ID is 87213-85-3865-1 pound. That's 87213-85-3865-1 pound. If we have participation, it would be, as we always, we do it by hitting the raise hand icon on Zoom or star 9 on the telephone. So with that, let's get to this meeting, and I'll ask Commissioner Samuelin to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. PJ, if you're able to, can you put a flag up there? Thank you.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag, one nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the Republic of Sin, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, mostly right. All right. So this meeting is, we called this meeting to really discuss mask usage and some of the other compliance measures. I think everybody knows that the increases have been, some of the increases in Dade County have been one-day records since we started the pandemic over the last week. And the county mayor has taken some pretty extraordinary action in closing the beaches again. Some of the neighboring cities have also taken measures with regard to masks. Although we obviously can allow the city manager to continue with his emergency orders without even us meeting, given the fact that some folks have liked to talk about this stuff publicly, because it made sense to him, because I think he also wanted us to talk about it with him publicly, I thought it wise to have a meeting today so we could talk a little bit about what we expect to do with mask usage, if there's any other ideas. I can tell you this morning, Jimmy and his staff and I are we have a weekly call with the Department of Health, along with two other mayors and a pretty big group of statisticians and healthcare folks. And the data is, I think it's really almost, it's as bad as it's been reported. The increases are phenomenal. The percentages are very high of positives, which means it's not just about testing. Hospitalizations, the census has now surpassed 1,000. It had flatlined for a long time. It's now over 1,000. And today they indicated that the intensive care hasn't necessarily increased the same, folks on the call made it very clear that that's a lagging indicator anyway, as is death. So the anybody who would assume that it's just going to be people going to hospitals and then leaving would be a mistake to make that assumption. It may happen, but it would be a mistake to assume that, given the fact that, as they showed us this morning, there is a lag between the time as the disease progresses with some people. So I asked the manager to sort of think about this, as well as our chief and our compliance folks in code, on what we can do to increase our efforts to stop the transmission. And by the way, the increases in Miami Beach, we typically don't use the Miami Beach increases because it's hard sometimes to extract the data from what's going on, where the testing sites are versus where the residencies are. But even the Miami Beach increases have been enormous as well. We had a 50-something one-day increase, and we've had 30-something day increases. which in our relatively small city is a lot. We're well over 1,000 positives now, assuming you can rely on that data. So I try to do a little work beforehand, and I'd like to have a discussion with all the commissioners in a moment, but here's I think where we are. So right now we have an indoor rule, and we have sort of the county outdoor rule, which has been clarified in some versions. And recently the county mayor clarified that he believed a previous order, which was tethered to locations, required you to wear a mask if you were at a location where you couldn't socially distance yourself. That may not capture people who are choosing not to socially distance themselves or just outside and choosing not to. And it also may not include a lot of other areas. The other issue with the county ordinance is that it's part of the emergency order. So the enforcement protocols for it aren't necessarily the best. What I mean by that is we could consider today a couple of things, but one of the things we certainly, I think, should consider is what we want to do so that enforcement actually could work, because violation of the emergency order is, I believe, a misdemeanor criminal event. And it may be that we want to have an option to give people warnings, to have fines, to have something that escalates rather than simply to go something that is likely not going to be enforced very often. I don't think we're going to be arresting people for failure to wear a mask, but we may want to make it have something that is usable because it may be more effective at the result we want. So that's sort of what I'd asked the manager and the chief to think about. And the various versions are, one, we could simply say you have to wear a mask when you are not socially distancing anywhere in the city, period, and have a initial penalty of a verbal warning, a second of a fine, and then something escalating, because we do have the emergency order to fall back on. Another could simply be an across the board, you wear a mask everywhere, and that's with the same kind of penalty provisions. I think the penalty provisions are important because right now, I don't think any of us expect there to be arrests over this. And given our status as a hospitality center, it'd be very hard to do that. So that's sort of those are the issues. And I'd like Jimmy to talk for a little bit about how he sees it, and then maybe the chief, so that they can give us some of their thoughts. The other thing I talked to the county mayor, and I know Jimmy has as well, about a much heightened effort at providing people masks. The county mayor has had, you probably read, some teams go into neighborhoods where there's COVID going on, and has actually gone door to door giving out antiseptic, giving out masks and things like that. We could do that in our hospitality areas easily. I think we could get ambassadors we have hundreds of thousands of masks right now available to us. The county mayor indicated he would help. So that could be part of our effort, sort of a persuasion effort, an enforcement effort, but just something that enhances what's going on. So with that, so we, at the end of this meeting, I'm hoping that you all have given him enough input where he has some clear direction as to what he wants to do. We don't have to vote on a specific incarnation of a rule. He can simply listen to us, and we can give him our thoughts specifically, and then he can come back after talking with the police chief and others, or we could tell him exactly what we want to do. But either way, given the really remarkable increase over the last week, I think it's important for him to hear from us publicly and for the public to hear. But also, if there's something that we can do that really is going to work better, we ought to do that. The one thing about the chart this morning, the charts we looked at this morning, it is abundantly clear that the reopening was sort of, as we reopened, you can just almost see the week or two later, each phase of the reopening seems to have an increase in what's going on. And I think one of the goals here is to avoid having to go back to sheltering in place. I think that's got a real economic devastation. Now we hopefully know more. Now we maybe have other tools available to us to help us avoid that. But I think it is going to require a marked increase in compliance, because there is a lot of noncompliance in the city, especially in the parts of the city that frankly have people from other areas here. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why you're seeing countywide some of the issues. They did tell us this morning for the contact tracers believe that a lot of this is coming from the workplace and things like that. So with that, I'd ask Jimmy to sort of give us some of his thoughts on this, and then we can, and then he can lead us in with the chief and others. Jimmy, you got to unmute.
Am I unmuted? Okay. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Hope everyone had a nice weekend. I do want to just read at one point, Mayor. Mayor Mez has, in fact, finally issued the order this very morning that closes the beaches basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And he is contemplating now whether or not to extend that to pools at the hotels. And I know there'll be a meeting later in the day about that. So he is taking some steps. As you all recall, it was about, I think it was May 18th when the county began the reopening process for phase one. We had done parks earlier than that. And then really early June when phase two began with hotels and beaches and whatnot. We all knew reopening would have an impact, obviously, compared to a quarantine or near quarantine. It was going to have an impact. The standard always came from the CDC and whatnot was, how do we avoid overwhelming the local healthcare resources? We knew we were going to have more cases. The key was trying to keep the curve relatively flat during that time period not overwhelm, particularly obviously the hospitals. It's not so much even the increase in positive cases, because we're also doing a massive increase in testing, but the issue obviously to some degree the positive test ratio is higher. But even more important than that is the extent to which, at least in the last not 10 days, really, we have now seen the hospital related figures going up. And the mayor mentioned yesterday we had 133 admissions, which is the record in Dade County. And in fact, for the last 9 days, it's been over 100. Never saw that before during the pandemic. We now have nearly 1,100 COVID patients in the hospitals. That is the record. In fact, each of the last 7 days, we have set a new record in Dade County for the number of patients, COVID patients in the hospital. ICU numbers are up to the highest they've been since April 13th. So I think that the idea of having a meeting today was we're at that point where we're starting to get to concern. Are we 2 to 3 weeks away from those numbers now becoming significant numbers in ventilators and fatalities? And so that's why, and you saw it with some of the emails I shared with you from some of even the members of our health panel. What should we do now if we're going to try to avoid getting to that point? Now, some of the data we heard this morning on the call is interesting. A majority of the cases we're seeing now are actually 18 to 34 year olds. So the question is, are those cases of them getting sick and going to the hospital going to convert into more serious cases or not based on their age? On the other hand, even with all the new testing, we did hear the DOH said that even at this period of time, less than half of the people who show up at an emergency room sick with COVID, who test positive at the emergency room, were actually tested before. That means a majority of them weren't even tested before, and yet, so even the testing isn't catching. A lot of people aren't still going to get tested who, in fact, ultimately test positive in an emergency room. So it's, you know, one of the things I think we've all learned about this virus is it's hard to predict, and everything we think we know, you know, the summer was going to kill the virus. It obviously hasn't done that. The herd is being culled because lots of people have it who didn't. Never got tested, and yet the antibody testing is coming in with very low numbers, at least locally and across the state. So, but what we do know is that where we are now with our hospital statistics, how do we avoid it going forward? We also don't want to close down businesses. I think everyone agrees that could be fatal to the businesses at this point. What is the minimum we can do at this point that can try to stem the tide that we're seeing now? And where everyone seems to be coming back to is, what are the three things we've always talked about? And that is hand hygiene, cleaning your hands, social distancing, and masks. And so pretty much all the professionals on our panel, the ones on the call today, acknowledge that Masks really should be the next step. The question, as the mayor put it, is are we going to require it like the city of Miami does everywhere, so that you're just walking your dog alone on the street, you have to wear masks? Or are we at least going to focus on, I think, where the county rule really is today, I guess, is which was not our rule, which is you must wear a mask, whether it's outdoors, indoor common areas of hotels and condos, where you can't keep social distance, obviously continuing to require them indoors in establishments, with the exception of sitting in, down to eat at a restaurant. And in talking to, you know, my police chief, as well as our code, you know, we have limited resources, obviously, and we already are enforcing a whole regulations related to COVID-19. The latter approach seems to be the one that at least we think we can work with. You know, our concern is if, in fact, walking without a mask alone while you're walking your dog, or while you're walking with your spouse, walking together without mask, is going to generate a lot of calls. That could, you know, that's going to be a challenge to enforcement. But if we can focus, and I think this is what Coral Gables and some others have done, on, you know, going out, messaging, passing out masks. I spoke to Mayor Jimenez about whether or not we could repurpose some of the beach ambassadors, particularly over the 4 days when the beaches are closed, with going out. We've received a lot of masks, and maybe going out and passing out masks and encouraging folks to wear masks, and trying to do some real education on that. And having not, and I think as Mayor said, not an arrest as an enforcement, but you know, with the obviously strong work by legal to create a fine structure so that, you know, we're not talking about being draconian about it, but really encouraging, providing masks to folks, but then ultimately, if bad behavior continues, at least having some not draconian method of trying to enforce. That would seem to be the logical next step before we take sterner methods of sort of reclosing the economy, which I don't think anybody wants to do, but masks would seem to be the next appropriate step to see if we can stem the tide a bit, lower the numbers a little bit, but more importantly, maybe avoid, even if we're going to have more people getting sick just because we're reopened, not having the hospitalizations turning into something far more serious on ventilators or worse. So I think that's, Mayor, you know, as we've looked at it, I think from an enforcement perspective, staff, that would be the approach we would recommend taking as a next step in this process. But obviously, you know, we'll do what we're directed to do, and take whatever steps are necessary. But that would be what we would recommend, a next step. Obviously, this weekend is a major step, shutting down the beaches, and especially if he goes further to the pools. Obviously, that's a big step in terms of, you know, having what could otherwise be a major weekend where we get a lot more spread. But one point I want to close with, that Dr. Villalta said, the DOE secretary, is it's everywhere. It's hard to target anything. You know, she said people are getting in the community, bringing in the workplaces, and people getting in the workplaces. What's clear is that the virus is out there. It's still active. And so the best thing anybody can do is protect themselves, and in the process, you know, protect others. There's no one place we can point to that if we just close that, that's going to do it. It seems like even like house parties are a big, you know, risk. People getting together and having parties in their homes. So it's ultimately a self-behavior, but masks, I think, is a reasonable way to help.
So. Hey, Jimmy, why don't you also advise us? I know you circulated. We did ask our healthcare guys, men and women who have been advising us, what their thoughts were on this. So why can you sort of give us a paraphrase? I think you've circulated it.
Yeah, I shared the opinion of four of them. In fact, I got the fifth one today or this morning, just before the call, from Dr. Morris at Gainesville. And they're all, you know, pretty much in agreement. Masks make a difference. Masks help. I think four of the five of them would probably mandate it everywhere, but still recognize that from an enforcement perspective, if you're going to dedicate resources, it's probably where you have large congregate areas, you know, an Ocean Drive or a Lincoln Road or whatever. But they certainly think that seems to be the logical next step. They do think they make a difference. They do think that it protects the person wearing it, but more importantly, it really protects other people. And so I think there was unanimity in terms of that they make sense, whether or not you require them everywhere or you require it when there's no social distancing. But there was a sense. They also recognize it's very difficult to enforce, but they think that even people who will follow the rules anyway, and then those who maybe with a little encouragement, it could make a difference.
Hey, before we go to the commissioners and everything, Chief, I think what would help us, you know, you have people out there more, and ultimately you're going to be responsible for enforcing. And a concern I've always had, I think a lot of us have had, is how do you enforce something like this in a way that doesn't create really difficult bounces and things that overwhelm, you know, your other functions and things like that. So assuming that whatever we do, you're going to be advising your guys and women how to use discretion and things like that. Since you're responsible for this, why don't you let us know what your thoughts are? First, where you're seeing a lot of the kind of behavior which we think is sort of overt violation of the social distancing, but also how you might enforce these provisions if really you had to, realizing that we may also have these ambassadors out there in a big way passing out free masks to people and not enforcing, but persuading or suggesting.
Sir, good morning. Good morning to commissioners, Mr. Manager. Thank you for inviting me to participate in this call this morning. Where we are seeing most of this activity taking place is in our entertainment district, in areas where, you know, people do congregate, Lincoln Road, Espinola Way, places like that where the businesses are open, to include Ocean Drive and even on Collins Avenue to a large extent. People are taking the opportunity to be able to get out. And really, for the most part, they are congregating in some of these open restaurants and locations. From a police perspective, having the ordinance affect every single person that would be out in the general public would inundate us with calls for service that we, in my opinion, we couldn't possibly handle, at least not in real time. You know, we may be holding calls, that may be minutes old, you know, where the person is gone. And really, for the most part, the way I would probably describe it best is that we would be chasing shadows. The best way that I see to do it is to address people that are violating the social distancing aspect of that thing, that are in groups. To utilize the ambassadors, and I think that that's probably the most effective means by which you're doing so. I think that right now, with the given political climate that we're in, from a law enforcement perspective, any overture on our part might not necessarily be well received, at least not at this moment. But we would be there, obviously, to be able to help the ambassadors in the event that they needed them. So again, I think that that's probably the most effective way of getting the word out, and more importantly, getting compliance.
Okay. We're going to go to Roe in a moment, but I just want to remind everybody what I said earlier. We, as a commission, we don't have to say this is what you need to do to the manager. He has emergency powers right now, fully within his province. I thought at very minimum, though, we should sort of give him some of our thoughts so he can assemble that. He may want more, and obviously he's never afraid to ask, but we don't have to necessarily vote on something as much as sort of give him what we're thinking after listening to the chief and the manager. Now I'll go to our city attorney, who will also, I think, want to give us some thoughts.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Mayor and city commissioners. I just wanted to clarify what I think the manager is saying with his recommended option. As I understand it, we would keep the portion of the county ordinance in place requiring individuals to wear masks where they can't social distance. What would be different would be at the fine schedule. In other words, right now the county provides for fines for businesses, but I'm not sure whether they're fining individuals. And I think their fine is $500. So if we want to do, for example, a warning, a first violation, a second violation, a third violation, where we would differ from the county ordinance, from the county order in our order, would be in the fine section. But otherwise, the enforcement, the premise would still be the same. You're required to wear a mask where you can social distance. Is that correct, Jimmy?
Yeah, Raul, would that also include condo and hotel common areas? I know that's been a concern.
We could specify that if you want to clarify that and be in terms of being stricter, we can specifically put that in our ordinance.
The only thing I'd add is, you know, I've looked at the county clarification and it's interesting because if you get really the detail of it, it says where you can't social distance, the locations where you can't. And I almost feel like really what we're saying is where you're not socially distancing, because certainly people decided not to socially distance themselves in areas where they could, and I've driven down Collins and Washington and Ocean. It's those places aren't necessarily inherently impossible to socially distance. As people are deciding that they want to, that's how they want to comport themselves. And I get it. They're young and they're socializing, but I do think, I worry, frankly, that when our officers walk up to somebody and ask them to please stop, we don't know what's going to happen after that. But maybe the fact that you start with a verbal warning, maybe the fact that they know they have discretion, maybe the fact that it's a fine will give them a greater ability to actually enforce it rather than go to what the county order seems to have, which is either a very high fine or an arrest, which I'm not sure would actually work because, for so many reasons we can imagine. So yeah, I guess my point is, though, that the county clarification might not precisely be what we're talking about, but it's very close. So anyway, with that, let's get to the commissioners and let's just hear what you guys are thinking. And Commissioner Samuel, you got your hand up.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I support the strongest measures that we think we can legitimately enforce to increase mass usage. I believe that, an analogy I've heard some use, it's sort of like a seatbelt. And it's not only protecting yourself, but it's protecting other people. I believe that we have a problem and we need to take action. So I am supportive of elevating our efforts here in this case. I don't think it's time to panic. Our hospitals still do have capacity. I think the manager made a good point. Younger folks seem to be getting a higher percent. They seem to be doing better. And of course, at this moment, Miami Beach is not necessarily the hottest of hot zones. That said, I do believe it is time for action. And it appears that universal masking is very effective. One example, Hong Kong, millions of people, almost 99% of the people are wearing masks, and they've only had 7 deaths. So I think masks work. We do not have the compliance that we need. We're hearing from our public health officials that we need to do better. And frankly, I think we need to take steps like this now that will frankly help our businesses. If we don't do things like this now, we may need to have more difficult decisions. And if we do this and do it right, I think it speaks well to the business community that Miami Beach is a safe place. When I think about this, the cost of getting it wrong might be a little inconvenience of some people, maybe had to wear a mask and it wasn't the most comfortable thing. I'd hate to think that we didn't do everything possible to ensure safety. And I would also say this is an important time for unity. The mask is not partisan in any way. I think we have the opportunity as a commission to send a strong message. So I am supportive of increased measures, everything we can do to ensure that more people are using masks.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Sam. Commissioner Minor, and then Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the presentation by everyone. So, yeah, I agree with Commissioner Samuelin's remarks. I think that, and I spent quite a bit of time in the last few days researching this as well. Hong Kong is a good example. I think there's a clear correlation in the jurisdictions, not only in our country, but throughout the world that have used masks. The rate of infection is lower. And actually, frankly, doctors have used masks in hospitals for over 100 years, and there's a reason for it. So it works. I like the idea of sort of sticking to what the county rule is. And I know there's been some clarification of that recently, but obviously if somebody's just walking alone or taking a stroll, I don't see any reason that we have to enforce the person wearing a mask. But if social distancing is not being achieved, I agree with that. I guess I have a question for this is for Chief Clements or maybe code enforcement, sort of how the warning sort of and then elevating to a fine would work and how that would be implemented.
Pernin, are you on the call? Because I know we talked about this in terms of a tracking system they use now. Pernin?
Yeah, hi, good morning. So yeah, if we're going to have an escalating fine schedule, that's going to require some data entry on the background, because wherever this person is encountered a second or third time, we're going to have to be able to query where they land on the fine schedule.
Okay. I guess I'm just picturing this, and I actually had a conversation with Jimmy about this. I'm picturing a situation. Let's say we issue a warning, and right away we're entering their data into some system. It seems like that's going to take up a lot of our resources immediately, as opposed to just issuing a warning, sort of not entering any data, but handing out the mask, telling people, hopefully most people comply, and then we can certainly escalate it if that warning doesn't work, and then issue a second warning or a fine. Curious to hear what others think. Picturing this through how it actually work in implementation. If we're actually entering data on the first warning, I just feel like we're not going to be able to cover too many people. We're going to use up all our resources pretty quickly.
Thank you.
Just one last question for Jimmy. You're talking about the increase in hospitalization rates, and hopefully we never get to this. But how much longer do we have the sort of the convention center running out to the Department of Emergency Medicine, sort of the having that. That backstop, God forbid, if we ever need to use that.
It's funny you ask that question, Commissioner, because literally this morning, from the state attorney's office, Jason reached out to me that the state has actually approached us about extending the lease through September 8th and an additional 1 month option beyond that. So, frankly, at this point, conventions aren't even allowed. So I'm inclined to, unless anyone has an objection here, I'm inclined to extend it because at least we're getting some income in the building and people are working. But I don't think we're going to be having conventions the rest of this summer or anything. So it looks like my guess is responding to the medical data and whatnot, they want to keep that facility available just in case.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Minor. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor, staff. I have a couple of questions maybe for the police chief. So many of us saw some of the images, the video clips from the entertainment district this weekend. And, with the clubs and bars being closed, it seems to me that Ocean Drive has become an open-air bar, a club. And with people going to the package stores and pouring their alcohol on the street. One operator on Ocean Drive told me that he thought it was the worst situation he's seen in 30 years. I don't know if that's true, but I would like the police chief to tell us what's going on in the entertainment district. And are they having issues with compliance with alcohol, open containers and so forth. So, if the chief could just brief us on what's going on.
Chief.
Commissioner, good morning. For the most part, the environment out there on Ocean Drive and just particularly on Collins Avenue as well, has been busy for our officers. We've attempted to go ahead and address some of the these congregating issues or the social distancing issues and even the alcohol related issues. As best we can, but just to give you an idea of the type of pushback that we're getting, one of our officers, I believe it was in the 100 block, I believe it was A Street, went up to try and take a bottle of tequila away from a young man who immediately went ahead and said, "You're not taking it." So that's what we're getting, and ultimately, the defiance, if you will, towards that was, given towards one of our officers who happens to be 6'4" and 380 pounds. So, and within the company of other officers. So it's particularly challenging. And what we're trying to do is temper that response as best we can without obviously escalating an already tense environment. Now, I will tell you that we are starting to now mobilize and starting to put more groups out there in a more assertive role in trying to get that under control. But I'll also tell you that the vendors aren't really helping us. We've called, Hernan on a couple of instances where people are pushing it to the hilt. I mean, we had one business in particular that had a holding line, if you will, for a stool that they had set out in front of their business, as they were serving alcohol that way. So, we're trying to get the businesses involved as well. And the message has been to them, you need to do a better job as to how you're staging people coming into your restaurants and moreover, what you're looking to do. But it's particularly challenging. We're starting to see it get a little bit better. But for the first 2 weeks, it's been really hard. And yeah, he's right. This has been the most difficult environment that I've had to deal with in 30 years. And I understand that. And we're trying to navigate the best we can.
Commissioner.
Thank you. So, Jimmy, a question for you then. If the county mayor is going to close the beach on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, are we going to keep Ocean Drive open? Because we may just take the people that were going to go to the beach and move them to Ocean Drive. I mean, I think we need to have a serious conversation about curfew again. And I know that may be an unpleasant conversation for us to have, but it does seem, based on the images I've seen and what the Chiefs is telling us, is we have a real problem on Ocean Drive. And we opened Ocean Drive because we wanted to give our residents the opportunity to move about, to skate, to rollerboard, all those things, to get some exercise. But it does seem like it's become party town with people going to the package stores and just open container and having their club scene on Ocean Drive. And we may be enabling that by having that road closed. And so I'm curious if you've thought about what will happen July 4th weekend if we close the beach, but we leave the road open to have an open air club. Because it seems to me this is one of our biggest problems right now is what's going on in the entertainment district with the commingling of people and the congregating and so forth. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Commissioner, and if, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the emails from the doctors on the panel, but they also talk about, as part of an initial response, mass and perhaps curfew, because obviously with a lot of young people being the ones getting sick out in these social situations, short of closing the businesses, that at least limiting the hours, maybe a midnight curfew or something, it was something that I thought should be considered. Ocean Drive, I mean, as you know, we also have by ordinance, our high impact weekend ordinance. Historically, 4th of July has not necessarily been as problematic as some other weekends, but it has always been a busy weekend. We are in a very unique situation, you're right, because it's with the road now closed to pedestrian only, it becomes perhaps where the overflow will come from the beach. I had not given too much thought about if you're saying by closing, you mean closing the businesses on Ocean Drive or reopening it to car traffic, which were you contemplating?
Well, I was just asking really what if you've had an opportunity to think about it. I mean, I don't want to close the businesses. That would be a last resort because of the economic strain. But if we're enabling the party scene by having a late night open air club, I mean, we're really enabling. I saw the pictures, the videos that were posted over the weekend, and it's a party scene in the middle of Ocean Drive. So by closing that to vehicular traffic, we have provided that space for people to congregate. It was our initial intention to do that for our residents and not to create an open air party club, but to get people the opportunity to get out and exercise and so forth. So, and you know, we've got people using some of the space for their restaurants and so forth. So not suggesting we want to take all that down and change course, but I do think we need to have a serious conversation about curfew. And I think it's a difficult conversation because, you know, we in this country enjoy certain liberties and so forth, and we don't like curfews, but you know, I think we need to acknowledge that what we did in this city in the very early stages of this pandemic was highly effective, highly effective. And then, you know, if you look at the chart and the data, it really tells a story that the measures that we took worked for us in this city, and we succeeded at a level much greater than the county. But then if you start looking at the numbers around mid-May, they start creeping up a little bit. And then, of course, we know what's happened in the last week. So, but I drove Saturday afternoon. I had an occasion to drive down Washington. And I don't know what was going on. I think it was some sort of eating establishment. But there were 50 people standing on the sidewalk congregating, and nobody had a mask on. And this is a real problem. So, and I'll say on the issue of masks, you know, I had the great privilege of meeting a lot of our ocean rescue people because they came out and volunteered for my food drive when they were on furlough. And then as they went back to work, some of them were asked to be ambassadors. And, you know, they told me that it's a tough job, you know, that most of the responses they got included a lot of four-letter words when they asked people if they would be kind enough to wear a mask. It's very difficult, and it's difficult for our police because when they approach, their approach is even perceived as different simply because they're the police. And I mean, this is a time where we have to express our strong support for the police because of what's happened in our country. They're going through a difficult time anyway, and then we're asking them to go out and enforce open container. And I would certainly appreciate and understand the hesitation because they're afraid someone's going to pull out their phone and videotape somebody, and then half the clip's going to be on Facebook, and the other half the clip with the infraction is not going to be on Facebook. So, but I think the reason I'm spending the time on it is I think we have to think about what we want to do with Ocean Drive. Do we want to have a curfew? I don't really want to have the beach closed on July 4th weekend, but leave Ocean Drive open with no curfew at all, because it seems to me it's just going to create more of a club party scene. People don't need to come to the beach. They can just come to Ocean Drive to have their club and their party scene. So I need you to think about that a little bit. And then I just have a few more questions, Mayor, if you'll indulge me. I'm curious, maybe Mr. Manager, you or the lawyers can speak to this. The Miami has a fine, apparently, of $500 they've had for a week or so. I'm curious if you've gotten any reports and feedback on that. And also, I heard the discussion on what the county's doing, but I was a little unclear because we can't do something that is more lenient than what the county's doing. So I missed a little bit of that in terms of what we might consider doing versus what the county's doing, because we can't do something more lenient. Obviously we can do something more strict. So if you can speak to
sure
how the rule in Miami is going, I think they have a $500 fine. How's that going?
I have not received any information, even on the call this morning. Mayor Suarez did not indicate how it's going. So I don't know if they've issued any fines yet or not. The issue of the county order is an interesting one because it was an order that was issued on April 9th. Yet nobody quite interpreted it the way that Mayor Jimenez did about a week or two ago, because it said, at any other locations where social distancing isn't possible, and everyone assumed locations meant, because it was a list of indoor places, and then he said at any other locations, people just assumed he meant establishments, any other establishments or businesses or indoor locations. It was only in the last 2 weeks that he at least in a couple of press statements he made, said that by locations, that meant anywhere, including outdoors. So no one had been enforcing it that way. So Matt, if you recall, we had taken the position that in parks and beaches, you had to wear a mask unless you couldn't socially distance. And now it seems like the mayor's interpretation of his rule, and maybe it would make sense to clarify a little bit in our order, is to expand that countywide, that anywhere in the county, outdoors and public places, you have to wear a mask if you can't be socially distant. And so that, I think that's, as Earl said, that would be, so we would be consistent with their rule, not any more lenient.
Okay. And in fact, if we made it not where you can't be, but where you choose not to be, we'd actually even be a little bit more stringent in that we'd capture conduct that could be anywhere, but was obviously violating the physical distancing recommendations.
Right.
Well, you can continue.
Thank you, Mayor. So let me try to summarize where I'm at on this. I think we have to do more to try to encourage mask wearing. I was in a grocery store just 4 or 5 days ago, and probably 10 to 15% of the people had their mask pulled down around their neck. Whereas a month ago, that same grocery store had 100% compliance with people wearing a mask. So it does seem like there's been, with the opening, maybe there's been a perception of a relaxation of the mask. So we definitely need to do more. I'm in the column of people who believe that it is effective when people wear masks, something doctors have been doing and hot nurses in hospitals for years and years and years. So I think, Jimmy, we need to look at our restaurants and bars in the entertainment district. If they're serving alcohol and allow people to leave to go to the street, I think we need to have a strict response to that. We should have zero tolerance on that. I'm very worried about the small package stores in the area because it does seem like people are going in and picking up their bottle and then going to Ocean Drive in the entertainment district for the what has become, in my view, an open air club scene. And we need to decide how we're going to address that. And I want to strongly support your efforts to get as many people as we can to wear a mask. And I think we as a board need to express our support for the police. If we're going to ask them to enforce these measures, they need to know that we're standing right alongside them. So I hope though that, and as the mayor said, we don't have to vote on anything today. I feel really strongly that we got to get a handle on what's going on in the entertainment district. Quite frankly, I don't think it's a safe area for people to operate. I had somebody tell me the other day that their employees for the first time in 30 years are afraid to come to work. So we got to get a handle on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Arreola.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Commissioner Richardson raises some really important issues with respect to sort of Ocean Drive and the entertainment industry or entertainment area, and we should talk about that. I would encourage us to think about what's happening in the entertainment district currently, you know, even independent of COVID. This is something that's been happening for a really, really long time, and I think it would be happening even if we weren't in this situation. There's, you know, I don't know that there's a real strict correlation. And so, you know, for example, I don't know that masks are going to change the behavior there. So if we were to do something draconian with masks, I don't think we should assume that that behavior is going to go away. So I want to kind of look at both the mask issue and the entertainment issue differently so that we can address them appropriately. You know, with respect to the masks, where I'm at, I'm very comfortable with the county ordinance. I think it's just logical with respect to mask wearing when you're outdoors. I think if you're outdoors walking your dog alone or walking with your wife alone and no one's around, literally the spread of the virus is nothing, right? So I don't know why we would ask to have a policy where you mandate mask that would only encourage interaction between code enforcement or law enforcement and our residents really for no valid health reasons. I think those resources can be deployed more intelligently. So I would just encourage us to stick with the county ordinance. And in fact, that's what the New England Journal of Medicine recently put out as well. We know that the infections are happening more indoors. You know, I have personal stories now from numerous friends of, you know, recent high school graduations here in Dade and Broward, where dozens of kids got infected. All of them are fine. But, you know, the COVID is clearly in our community and spreading as people gather more socially. And it's not just restaurants. Right? I want to encourage us not to just make restaurants the boogeyman. Bars are not open. So, you know, I hear people talk about restaurants and bars and clubs. Bars and clubs are not even open in Dade County. Because I want us to really focus on where the spread is happening so we can appropriately address it. Mayor Gelber, I think you said on your call this morning, it's starting to happen in the workplace. We see hotspots out in Homestead, Little Havana, Alapata. And I think we really need to focus on why it's happening there and how it's happening there. I mean, I can only speculate. I don't have firsthand access to all of the data. I have some. You know, a lot of those folks are living in multi-generational households, multifamily dwellings, social distancing, and quarantining is not possible. So as policymakers, we need to think about what we can do to provide housing for folks who test positive to try to stem the spread of COVID. So when we talk about masks, it's a tool, but I don't think it's going to be sufficient to try to stop the spread of COVID, because where it's happening is right now largely outside of Miami Beach for a lot of reasons. And so, you know, we can talk about masks all we want, but I think the county ordinance is sufficient. And just a couple things. Clearly infections are up. So is testing. As people go back to work, a lot of employers are requiring testing. A lot of people now are very concerned to come in contact with people who have tested positive. I had a number of friends who have tested positive. They're all doing well, thank God. Hospitalizations are up. I've talked to a number of doctors. You know, my father's the chairman of Jackson. A lot of the admissions are happening because they have hospital beds available. Normally, in a crisis situation, a lot of these admissions would not be taking place, but because beds are available, they admit people in an abundance of caution just to observe. So before everyone starts freaking out, a lot of the admissions are happening because, frankly, there are beds available. Deaths nationwide are down 75%. At peaks, approximately 3,000 a day, are down to 600 a day. This weekend, it were down to 285 nationwide. My father reported from Jackson that it's about three deaths a day from COVID-related illnesses. So, you know, before people start freaking out, just keep in mind that the important things, things like deaths or serious illness, are way, way down from peak. This is now starting to apparently spread among a younger population that are typically healthier and have a much more positive outcome from being infected. And, you know, I think what we should be focusing on, besides what to do with masks, is what more can we do to address the spread of the virus that I don't think we have been talking about. So what happens if someone in our community tests positive and they reach out and say they can't quarantine at home because of, you know, financial situations or, you know, living situations? What more can we do in order to stop the spread of the virus in our community? So that's one ask. The other thing too, I really think that we need to start preparing our residents and our community for what this virus is about. I've spent the last 3 or 4 months doing a lot of reading on this. I just finished the book, The Great Influenza, which is actually the book that led to a lot of these policy decisions we're now taking, which was a study of the Spanish flu. And most of these viruses, whether the Hong Kong flu, the Spanish flu, or others, they last in communities for up to 2 years. And that one of three things happened: either a vaccine is found, which is actually rare. There was never one found for the Hong Kong flu, the Spanish flu, HIV, and so many other viruses, swine flu. So a vaccine, which at best is not till the end of the year, which would be record time. So that may not happen. The probability there is not certain. You get herd immunity, or the virus mutates, which is normally what happens. And normally there's a regression to the mean where it's dangerous and lethal, and then it just sort of goes back to being what viruses are, which is less lethal. But I think we need to prepare our community that this may be a long haul. This may be 2 years before this thing goes away, either through vaccine, herd immunity, or the virus mutates. And so what do we need to do as a society to get there? Precautions, mask wearing, social distancing, thinking about things like shaking hands and hugs, because this is the way the virus spreads. You know, it's clear that this virus has spread in the past month or two because social gatherings have increased. Like I said, there's a lot of graduation ceremonies. People have been cooped up for 2-3 months getting back together with people. The weather's gotten nice, backyard barbecues and stuff. And I just think we need to message out to people that this virus is likely going to stick around for a while. My concern with the overemphasis on masks are that people are going to think that that is the answer, right? And it's not the answer. It's a tool in our toolbox, but ultimately it's individual responsibility and comfort with risk. I think the bigger things that we can do as policymakers is, you know, what happens when there's community spread? What can we do to stem it in terms of increasing our hospital capacity, which we did, including the convention center hotel, but also what do we do if people who live in home situations and can't socially distance, what more can we do for those folks? You know, and just as an anecdote for those who haven't studied the Spanish flu, the world did the same thing we're doing right now. They were more draconian. They had lockdowns. Everyone had to wear masks. They had criminalized spitting and coughing in public. They did everything you can imagine. The flu came in three waves, in different levels of fatality. Remotest areas of the world, Fiji, Samoa, got the Spanish flu. And in those communities, it was devastating. They didn't have the same immunity that more industrialized nations had, and up to 50% of their populations were wiped out. And we weren't in a global economy then. So the point I'm making is that you can't contain these viruses, right? You can't contain them for long. What the lockdown showed is that we stemmed the tide, but the minute we reopened, it does what viruses do. They spread. So going back to lockdown is not an answer. I think what we need to be doing is just our very best to mitigate and educate. But also be really upfront with people on to what they can expect and how long this is going to last in our community. I think it's going to last 2 years unless a vaccine is found. And, you know, I think when we think about what we're going to do with schools start in 2 months. We don't have an answer. People need to be planning their lives. Things like daycare, our child, children playgrounds, businesses, recreation, social gatherings. I really want to encourage us to start having adult-like conversations with our community. And I'm trying to get us to stop looking at little remedies as if they're going to be a cure. The mask is not a cure. We need to really talk to people about what the future is going to hold. This is something that could last 2 years or more in our community. And what does that mean for your business? What does that mean for your family? What does it mean to your children's education, your own lifestyle? I don't want to give people the false sense of security that a mask is going to make this thing go away, just like the lockdown didn't make it go away. So with that said, my conclusion is I'm comfortable with the county ordinance. Also want to talk about Commissioner Richardson's comments about sort of Ocean Drive in the entertainment district, but I think that's separate from COVID because that's an ongoing battle. And I was hoping that with the closure of Ocean Drive and the social distancing and things, we would have had a better outcome, but that's clearly not what's happened. And I'd love to talk more about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Ariello. Commissioner Gangora.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful comments. Taking this back to March when we first started dealing with this pandemic, we stated that we were going to follow health and medical professionals' advice, and we did. And I was one of the first ones, and our city was one of the first ones, to start closing down the city to try to keep people safe. That's really what all of our decisions need to be based on, is health and safety of the residents. And we said we were going to follow the data, and we have been. When we closed down, the virus didn't go away, but the infections went down. That's what allowed us to start opening up our city. People took things very seriously. They followed and respected the law, and the infections went down. As things started opening up, people thought it was over, especially, I believe, a lot of the younger people that felt kind of cooped up, weren't able to go to school, do the things they normally do and be with their friends, all of a sudden saw an opportunity to go out. And as a result, the data now shows the infections are up. Younger people are being infected more. Fortunately, from when I look at the Miami-Dade County map, Miami Beach is not a red zone. We've managed to avoid becoming one of the hotter spots in the county, but we have seen an increase in infections. And people are scared. That's why we see them lining up now 4 and 5 hours around the convention center every morning to do their testing when before they were not. So with regard to the specific conversation, yes, I support the mask usage. And I believe that the county version is probably the best one for us to follow. I think more so even than requiring mask usage outdoors, which I support when you can't social distance, I think it's very important the indoor component as to condominium and hotels. Right now, there hasn't been a requirement inside of condominium associations and hotels, and we've seen different condo boards doing different things. Many are responsible. Like in my building, it's a condo rule to wear the mask when you're indoors, but not everybody is doing it, and not every condominium is doing it. So if we're talking about in a city like Miami Beach, where most people live in multi-family dwelling buildings, such as condominiums and apartment buildings, I think it's very important that we have a uniform rule citywide for indoor usage in all residential buildings and hotels. Next, you know, I heard them say that the mayor, the county mayor, is determining what's going to happen with pools. I would urge him to make that decision sooner rather than later. Part of the frustrating part of these emergency orders for me, for our business owners, for our residents, is they seem to change daily. So we need to try to get in front of that issue and make that determination as quickly as possible. Yes, I agree that we've been seeing really troubling videos and images on Facebook and Instagram of people partying and not taking this seriously. Most of it is in the entertainment district. I don't know what the solution is, but number one, if our law enforcement needs additional resources to provide more men and women out there over this holiday weekend, I'm pleased to give my affirmative vote to do so. Number two, I thought it was an intelligent comment about what's going to happen with the beaches closed, because people are going to look for something to do. And we need to be ready and prepared for whether that something is the entertainment district. I'm not sure if we're keeping the garages open or closed or going into the typical kind of high impact regulations, but I think we need to be ready to keep our residents and our city safe. A troubling component for me has been bars that are claiming to be restaurants but still operating as bars. We're getting a lot of images about these. I mean, one of the ones that's been sent to me a lot, and I'm not picking on any particular business, but Mr. Jones on Lincoln Road, you know, they're advertising, like many others, unfortunately, in our city, still looks like a bar advertising with a little bit of food. So I think to the extent that police and code are aware of these businesses, and we kind of know who they are, they keep advertising themselves in very bar-like settings, we need to get stricter about closing them down. As I understand it, if you're a bar that wants to operate as a restaurant, you're supposed to be selling 50% food. I'm not sure that that is happening, but I believe that that is not good, and that is encouraging young people to flaunt the rules. And all of a sudden, they're in a restaurant, quote unquote, and they can take their mask off and have a drink and socialize as normal. And unfortunately, we're not living in the normal anymore. We're living in the new normal. So I would like to see our police and code get ahead of this. I do agree that we need to give another tool to the police to use to enforce the mask requirement. And I do think that fines and other civil violations are a good idea. Clearly, we're not looking to arrest people. We're looking to help people. We're looking to save people. We're looking to reduce the amount of infections. But unfortunately, some people just want to argue about, I don't need a mask. I see these discussions happening in person and on social media all the time, that they don't think that they need a mask for themselves. And that's a very selfish way of thinking, because unfortunately, as we all know, the mask is not necessarily about protecting the young and healthy. It's about stopping the spread to their parents and grandparents and seniors. So I am fully supportive of the mask requirement. I do think the county version is a good way to go. I would like to see the administration and manager address the plan a bit further, perhaps even through an LTC for us, as to what to expect this weekend, what type of policing will be out in the entertainment industry, the entertainment area. And also what we're doing with regard to controlling of traffic, opening of garages, and making sure that bars aren't really, wink, wink, doing full-on bar parties and claiming to just be restaurants. I don't know if you can address some of those points, Jimmy.
Commissioner, on the issue of bars, it's interesting. When the governor first went to phase two, He said that bars could open and operate like restaurants in that they couldn't have the bar area, but if they could serve at tables and chairs, food and drink. He managed to adopt the same rule upon reopening bars, and we did as well. And so bars could operate that way, assuming they had a restaurant license. And most of our bars have restaurant licenses. A few don't, like Uncut and a couple others, and they're closed. Now, a few days ago, the governor, I think it was Friday, did adopt this rule that, it was the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, that you have to stop serving alcohol if over 50% of your revenues are from alcohol and not from food. The problem is that they don't necessarily track that data so well. So we're actually working today on figuring out, we think we can get there through our resort tax data and whatnot. So we're looking to see which places, because even some restaurants, my guess is, make more on liquor than they do on food, maybe even on Ocean Drive and other places. So we're looking at that tool in our tool belt today to see where we can, because obviously I'm sure the lawyers would tell us you better have the data before you strip somebody down for that. So we're trying to get that data together so that we can use it, particularly this weekend. And we'll be glad to put together an LTC. Obviously, as you know, we have the high impact weekend powers, and I'll work with legal, with Hernan, with police to see what's the best strategy for this weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Are you done, Commissioner Gengor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ariola, is your hand up again? Okay.
Yeah, just to circle back on this theme, Jimmy, you and I have always talked about this, is, never let a good crisis go to waste. Looking at the entertainment district, what can we do now to try to get a hold of, things, right, and fix it once and for all going forward? And, one of the things I think we were just talking about that I thought about over the weekend is, do we start changing the mix of, revenue alcohol to food ratios, right? I think it's always been 50%, give or take. But, to the extent that Ocean Drive really is, a entertainment district where people are doing more drinking than eating and, just going a little bit more wild than a lot of folks would like to see happening there. Do we try to make it much more of a restaurant focused, cafe focused area? And we do that through the mechanism of, having a higher requirement of food to liquor sales. And that's a question for you. You don't have to answer it now, but do we start looking at this crisis as a way of trying to change and reposition the whole area? I was hoping that during this time, things would have calmed down because we closed the streets. Some of the establishments aren't even open. I don't believe Mango's is even open. But yet the behavior continues, and I'm not sure if it's caused by the establishments or it's happening independent of those establishments, but do we try to, rebalance the kinds of businesses that are on Ocean Drive? I heard that like Fat Tuesdays is not going to reopen, which is, I think, a positive thing, but, do we now start putting legislation in place to prevent another Fat Tuesdays type establishment from opening on Ocean Drive? Do we start rethinking the entire entertainment district now?
And Raul would have to help me with this on which rules we can adopt or not adopt. But certainly I would imagine, just like, and I think you had sponsored some legislation a while back about what kind of businesses we don't want to see on Ocean Drive, like a drugstore. We could certainly use this as an opportunity to perhaps look at what, not having pure bars, not having new clubs, not have, because to some degree, the business model on that street has always been not even advertising or marketing. It's, for most of the businesses, with a few exceptions, it's grab the people off the street, get them into a chair and plow them with, not too good food and a lot of alcohol and play a lot of loud music and whatnot. And that's been the business model up and down that street. There may be an opportunity because you've got some new owners that have come in, some folks who've made some heavy investments, but that might require, and Raul may want to chime in, some changes to the zoning so that business model going forward slowly begins to just die down because it can't replace itself. We could look at hours of operation. We could look at the noise issue, et cetera. But, you know, it has historically functioned that way. So I'm not totally shocked that the people who used to come before the panic, the pandemic, are coming back, because nothing's really changed in terms of the operation of the businesses that have reopened by and large. Yeah. So,
Mayor, if I can just finish my thought, and this is really for all of us, and maybe it's not just Ocean Drive we should be thinking about in this fashion, but with respect to Ocean Drive, there are businesses that are not going to reopen, Fat Tuesdays being one. There might be others. Again, taking advantage of a crisis, not letting a crisis go to waste. What kind of legislation, what kind of policies do we want to proffer going forward to try to get a hold of the situation? But also, you know, unfortunately, it looks like Lincoln Road's going to be devastated by this economic downturn. What, you know, to try to be proactive, what do we want to start thinking about for those areas as well? Even my own neighborhood, Sunset Harbor, I learned last night we're going to lose yet another business. And there's going to be a lot more vacancies than any of us want to see. So, again, not letting a crisis go to waste. I don't think any of us want to see these vacancies filled with businesses that are not going to be positive for our city going forward. And so, you know, do we want to start all independent, you know, collectively thinking about what do we want to see fill the void that's going to be left from this economic downturn?
Thank you. Commissioner Richardson is next.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to follow up on some of the comments that came after my own. So just so that I'm clear as well, I agree with Commissioner Arriola that if somebody's walking their dog outside or coupled, you know, we don't want to be trying to get them to wear a mask outside. It's not necessary. So what I think we're all talking about from what I've heard is that we're talking about people who are outside congregating and are not able to exercise good social distancing is where we want to do this. If somebody is running outside, we don't want to ask them to wear a mask. I don't see the need. Now, Jimmy, Commissioner Arriola raised some points about the bigger picture on the entertainment district. And I think that those are issues that we need to address as a board. But my immediate concern is that you got to have a plan for this coming weekend. And that's something that I'm really going to challenge you on, because the beach is going to be closed. I'm afraid we're going to enable this open air club scene. There may be some bars, restaurants that are allowing patrons to walk onto the street, but I think the package store, from what I've seen in the images, may be a problem. You may have to exercise your judgment on a curfew. And I want you to know that if you do that, you have my full support.
Thank you.
I don't know how, because right now, I guess some restaurants are open until, what, 2 in the morning? They can stay open and serve alcohol until 5 in the morning. Is that right?
I think that's right. As long as they're operating in restaurant fashion, people seated at tables, they can.
And the package stores that are in that area are open till midnight?
No, the package stores, I think, close at 10, Raul, right? Didn't we adopt the order? Package stores close at 10.
Okay. Well, I think it seems to me, Jimmy, this is going to be your biggest challenge of what you do this weekend in the entertainment district so that you know, you can support our police in doing their job to enforce, you know, public safety has to be number one. And so now public safety means two things. It means dealing with a crisis of a virus and keeping people healthy. And it also means public safety in terms of the safety of our residents when we have scenes that we experienced over this past weekend, which, you know, some would characterize as lawlessness. Okay. So your challenge, and I give you that challenge. And if you decide that we need a curfew, you have my full support.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Chief, you put your hand up, which you rarely do. So
Yes, sir. I just wanted to assure Commissioner Richardson that I've spoken to the manager about this about a week ago. when I told him what our plans were based on the internet chatter that we were hearing, social media chatter about this being the place to go during court. We are bringing in officers on enhanced staffing. Really, for the most part, we had a number of volunteers, but then we also had to bring in those people that normally have the weekend off to be able to help us out. I also reached out to Miami-Dade PD, and they're going to give us 25 officers a night to man Collins Avenue, really for the most part, just to ensure that we've got a level of enforcement out there, or at least being visual out there, that we think will help us get through the weekend. When I found out about the beach closure, I also asked Director Ramirez to help us out with the beach as well, because we figured we would get some pushback as well when people found out the beaches were closed. He graciously agreed to help us with that. So we are ahead of it. I have spoken to the manager about these plans, and he's been very supportive about the plan that we have in place from the police perspective.
Commissioner, thank you, Chief. Commissioner Samuel.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to pick up on my colleague's comments around Ocean Drive and the MXE. I, too, am concerned with what we're seeing. I agree with Commissioner Richardson, the way he framed it. It's both a short-term and a longer-term issue. In the short term, we need to get better control of what's going on. I will, of course, defer to our law enforcement. I'll defer to the manager and what he would recommend. But if the answer is a curfew, then I, too, would back that. And maybe another option is operating hours. 5 a.m. seems a little late for dinner to me. So I wonder, do we really need businesses in this environment at those hours? So that's my thoughts on the short term, but I definitely agree we need to sort of step up our game on that. I think, too, I would echo the comments on the longer term. You know, to some extent, the short term is just symptomatic of the problems we've had in the longer term. And I think we need to do better. Maybe to the comment of rezoning, we need to think about that. And I would also like to encourage us to really make sure that businesses are adhering to the code of conduct. We put a lot of time into that. And I saw the LTC, I'm disappointed to still see there's a significant percentage of hawking still going on. Operating a sidewalk cafe is a right, is a privilege, not a right. And so, Mr. Manager, I would just offer the thought that at least you have my support to really elevate the game there. And if we still have some bad actors, I'm not sure they're earning a sidewalk cafe permit. I'm not sure they deserve it. And I would ask you really to take a hard look as we come during that process for the upcoming year.
Thank you.
Will do. Obviously, we've been trying to help the businesses by expanding, but we will, and Hernan's resources are a little stretched, but we will use perhaps this weekend even as an opportunity to really do some cracking down and catch some of that bad behavior more often. Although Hernan, I don't know if he's on the call, they're still out there doing proactive inspections, and I think in recent days shut down a couple of folks, but I got the message. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Hey, Commissioner Minor, but also Commissioner Ariel and Chief Clements, you guys, I'm assuming you don't want to speak again. Your hands are still up, and I think I just left. Okay, Commissioner Minor, your hand is up.
thank you. And as we talk about, I guess, increased enforcement, I guess the way I see it, we've started to enforce the rules on our businesses. I know we shut down, I think, four businesses going into today. I guess what I haven't seen, and I think partly what we're talking about today, is enforcement in public places, Ocean Drive being the street itself, being one of the examples. So certainly that's an area, it sounds like from this call, that we have a mandate to move forward and enforce that. And I'm sensitive to when Chief Clements tells me that this is the most difficult police environment that he's seen in his 30-year career. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he said that, obviously following what's going on. So I think there's a level, and I think we're hearing, and I certainly give my support to our code and our police that, and it's a difficult situation for our officers. It's probably unique that generally our officers are enforcing criminal activity. This is not wearing a mask is not criminal activity. That's why we're talking today about imposing warnings and fines, because it's not a criminal act. So it is a difficult enforcement level, but certainly our support that needs to be done, because it is an important public safety issue. I guess I just wanted to bring up and follow up on a point Commissioner Simlin made and others as well about the alcohol sales and how late they're happening. I guess under the new state guidance, when if more than 50% of the sales are from alcohol, then that establishment cannot be open. When is that measured? Is that measured on a daily basis? Because certainly you're right, from as Commissioner Samuel mentioned, probably from 2 to 5 a.m., it's mostly alcohol, not dinner. So how do we measure that?
Unfortunately, the DBPR order was really bereft of details. It actually does not give any guidance on, are you measuring that daily, weekly, monthly? When they define gross revenues, is it just alcohol versus food, or some restaurants sell merchandise? I mean, is that included? It was a quickly and very poorly drafted one. So we're trying to pull together data, and then we'll sit down with legal to see how comfortable we feel that based on this data, we have good standing to go shut someone down. Sadly, those kind of questions I've asked, and there's just no information. The order came out Friday. We're looking to reach out to DBPR because my guess is they're going to get flooded with phone calls about their order. And I'm hoping they come out with some revised order with a little more detail because there's a lot of ambiguity to how to interpret it.
And I know from my own experience, Commissioner, that there are definitions, but they typically are not done daily because, for instance, when they were enacting cigarette ordinances and smoking ordinances, they had to define a bar versus a restaurant, and it's usually sales over a longer period of time because some things were allowed in a restaurant but not a bar. And so there are definitions. I'm just not sure they've been delivered into this particular process because, as the manager said, it was done pretty quickly.
Thank you. In fact, I have one follow-up question. When we're talking about curfews, I like the direction, but I guess what I'm a little concerned is I think the problematic areas are really we can pinpoint where they are. I don't know if we're talking about a citywide curfew, I'd be less comfortable with that because I don't think the problem is citywide. So I'm just curious how when we say curfew, can we pinpoint it or are we talking about implementing a citywide measure?
Mr. Manager?
Well, if we're talking about, for example, for high impact weekend, normally those are powers we have in the MXC area. So that would not be a citywide. Now, if the concern is that the curfew is a tool to try to limit people being socially interactive and not and therefore exposing, then it would make sense that kind of order would be citywide, because otherwise people would just go to restaurants in other areas. So, but as a tool for this weekend, for example, it certainly would be limited to the MXC under the high impact weekend issue.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just to finish up, thank you. I'd be more comfortable with a more measured, pinpointed approach. And I think the enforcement can accomplish a lot instead of having a citywide curfew. All right, thank you.
Okay. Let me try to bring this thing home. Thank you all for your input. As I said earlier, I didn't think we needed to vote, and I still don't think we do. In fact, part of this is there are a lot of interlocking pieces to this, and it is the manager's job with the consultation of his chief, his city attorney, our city attorney and others, code, to figure out what those tools are in the toolkit. There aren't a whole lot of tools left, frankly, before, because you can hope that we don't get the kind of spike in ICUs or worse. But I don't know that you could assume that given our census is now over 1,000. It hasn't been over 1,000 in a long time in the pandemic's history. So what I'd like to do is, we're going to bring this, is end the meeting, but I've listened to a lot, and let me just give the manager my opinion. I think we need to do stuff that's effective. So while we could do a citywide mask ordinance, if the enforcement of that wouldn't be effective, if after consultation with his chief and code, and he thinks that would be an issue, then I am very comfortable with something like the county order. But I think the county order needs to be slightly revised because I'm not sure it was originally written for the job of saying if you're if you choose not to socially distance yourself, you need to do so. It was really written more for locations, and I think we're talking about something where we have a little bit more. I fully think we need the warning and the escalating, or at least a fine. I'm not sure we need to keep track of that first warning, which is because that's going to, first of all, put a lot of resources into keeping track. But more so to me, I would really see that as if a police officer sees somebody and says, please put your mask on. And 5 minutes later, he hasn't, he's given his warning or something like that. I mean, I think we can write it in a way that gives our police officers sufficient and lawful discretion, because I think that's really important right now. I think all of you, many of you have raised the issue about, and I think it was wise, Commissioner Richardson, to talk about the reality of what's going to happen in these moments when a police officer walks to a crowd of people and say, please, I'd ask you all to wear masks. Those interactions can be easy or not easy. And I think it's important that that officer have really the amount of discretion he needs and direction from the chief and this commission, frankly, that we fully expect him to do the job, but to do it in a really thoughtful way, because these are not, these are not criminal acts in a sense that we all understand what criminal acts are. I think we haven't really talked about it, but I think it's really going to be helpful to have dozens or more than dozens of ambassadors walking around giving out masks. I think that's going to be a lot easier for people. We may get some litter from it, but I think it's well worth it. And that's the best way to suggest a usage of a mask is to hand somebody one and say, here, this is for you. Thank you. But I think we can get through this. In terms of the curfew, to the manager, whatever you think it works, I think right now, you know, and we have this all the time, guys. This is the challenge of our city. We have 92,000 residents, who I think by and large are doing well in this. They're following the rules as well or better than other communities. But just like our police tend to enforce laws, you know, most of our serious crimes are committed against guests by people who aren't residents. It's, you know, we tend to be a playground for people to come to, and they're not our residents. So we have this task of sort of policing other people who don't even live here. Not many communities have that challenge. And the mask and the spread of the virus is the same thing. I keep asking the Department of Health folks, when you talk about Hialeah and you talk about other areas, where are they coming from? There's a belief that they're our workforce. Okay, you know, they're coming here to work and going home, perhaps with the virus. So I think we have to realize that we have that that burden, but we have to still work towards addressing it. And I think we've all talked. I think Jimmy, I think you have a sense of what we want, don't you?
Yeah, no. Look, I think everyone's comfortable with the I'll call it the Mayor Jimenez interpretation of the original order, which is you have to wear masks basically in all public places unless you, right. You can't have social distancing.
Right.
And include in that, making sure that we clarify that includes common areas and condos and hotels, and then work with legal to put together sort of a sliding scale of, warnings and fines, not draconian.
I have a question there, Jimmy. If I heard from Hernan, the first part I agree with. I think that was the direction from the commission. I think that's a good direction, because if they're, I think that's the most legally supportable. And as a matter of fact, that is under challenge now in California. So if there's something, and it's probably the most legally defensible. So we should see something coming out of California with exactly regarding that issue of masks required in public areas when you can't social distance. And they feel that that's the most, again, as I said, legally defensible. The second part was what I heard from Hernan was, if we issue a warning, but we don't track, then how do we do a sliding scale of fines?
Well, but I think,
hold on, there's two questions in that role. The first question is whether you track the initial warning, the verbal warning, and then whether you track ones after that. By the way, I've checked. I don't know that Miami has imposed any fines at this point.
Right.
So to a certain extent, this is, and I'm not sure. I'm comfortable leaving it up to all of you to figure out what's going to work. Because I think our goal is to be effective.
Okay.
And if you can come up with something that doesn't draw too much resources needlessly, because we don't want to, you know, I don't think we need to solve that right here, I guess is my point, Rob.
Understood. I'm clear with the first part, and we'll just work with code with regard to the second part in terms of, you know, we don't want to divert our resources from other things. I just wanted to say one more thing, just to remind the commission with regard to alcohol. Right now, also, what the order says is that there is no, you cannot have any off-premises consumption of alcohol. So we do have an open container ordinance, which we should be enforcing as well this 4th of July weekend.
Thank you. Okay, listen, I'd like to, I think this was helpful for the manager and for the public. A lot of this is messaging. Please, everybody, and we're not going to open it up to comment, but if you have thoughts, send them to us or send them to the manager. He's just trying to figure this out with the consultation of you know, people in the city who are responsible for doing this. So thank you all for the meeting today. I think it was very helpful, and have a great week. Bye-bye.